Today's daf is Makas Daf Dalet. Daf Dalet. And we are on Gimel Amud Beis. We are going to start with the second wide line towards the bottom. Amar Yehuda Marav. Just one note, though, first on the last piece of Gemara. We mentioned that Gemara was looking into the discussion of lending. The Gemara got into lending my friend money. Will Shvius be Meshamet it or not? Will Shvius ruin the loan, even if it is a loan for longer than the time the time until Shemitah? Meaning if it's a 10-year loan, I know I'm going to collect it only after 10 years. It's not going to be collectible during Shemitah anyway, so the whole Isser of going to collect it will not apply. So is Shvius Meshamet or not? So we had two different days in the Gemara, and then we compared it to Ona'a, and then the Gemara went into the general issue of whether when a person lends money without specifying an amount of time, Amavas Chavir Ostam, so does one have 30 days as a minimum or not? So the Gemara first says only by a milvah bishtar, that minimum is there, because a person won't bother himself to write a shtar for less than a 30-day loan. And the Gemara said, no, I think it's even milvah ashtar or milvah alpeh, either one. What's the source? And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk. That there, just like this real Shemitah, there's a time period that you cannot collect either by a regular loan, and that is within 30 days of a Stam Milveh. That is like Shemitah. So the Achronim, I have it here from the Achakira of Reb Shmuel, he was choker about this din. Im mishum umdana ba'almahu, sha'aldas kein hilvehu. Is the issue of having a minimum of 30 days just an umdana? We assess everybody's da'as, that the general minimum amount of time that people would want to lend money for is 30 days. Oshema dinu kein, or maybe it's a din. It's a bona fide din, it's not just an umdana. And suggests the Achronim, Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, that maybe that's the difference between the Havamina and the Maskan of the Gemara. The Havamina, we thought it was based on a Svara, it was based on people aren't Torah themselves, and that's why maybe we even limited it at the beginning of the Gemara to Milva Bishtar. But once the Gemara comes up to the Maskana, Milva Alpeh, so that even Milva Alpeh, and the Gemara quotes a Pasuk, so that for that, that is something that's more of a din, and not just a svar. Related to that, the Briska Rav says, with this maybe we can understand the Rambam, if it's a din and not just a svar. Because the Rambam says, in Hilchos Malve Velove, Yud Gimel Hei, Hamalves Chaveiro, V'Kavolo Zman L'Paro, let's say I'm Koveh Azman, so then you're not allowed to be Toveh him until the end of the Zman, and then he says, V'Stam Milve Shloshim Yom, right, Stam Milve Anonimel, without specifying his 30 days, V'Yim Hisna She Yitva B'Chol Zman She Yirtse. But if I'm Toveh you, that if I make a condition, if I make a Tznai, that I can collect whenever I want, Yesh Lo L'Tovo B'Yomo, you can even collect that day, She Tznai Mamon Hu, because it is a Tznai Mamon. That's the language of the Rambam. If you make a Tznai, you can do whatever you want. She Tznai Mamon Hu. So ask the Briska Rav, what is this extra phrase of Tznai Mamon Hu? Demashma demidin Tznai Hu dekasin Allah. It sounds like it's coming based on the world of Tznayim. But what do you mean? Once you make a Tznai, keep it to Hisna, imkein lav stam halvahi. Vein shaycha klala din lamed yom. The Rambam says, if you have a loan that's a 30-day loan, if it's an unspecified loan, it's 30 days. And if you make a Tznai to collect whenever you want, then you can collect whenever you want, because after all, you made a Tznai on a davar shebe mamon. Ask the Grizz, what do you mean it's a Tznai on a davar shebe mamon? You're allowed to collect whatever you want, because it's a loan that's collectible any day. It's not a 30-day loan. What is that extra line of, is a Tznai shebe mamon? Says the Briska Rav, you see from here that really the idea of 30 days is automatic. It's inherent in the definition of a loan for it to be 30 days. Ta'adin de lamed yom, this is the Grizz on that Rambam in Hilchos Malva Velove. Ta'adin de lamed yom, ein ze mishum de mistama hava aso hui alamed yom. It's not just mistama, this is what we think. Ki'im di yisoda hu din Torah, b'kol avos da'an lamed yom, einu yochol tovo. It's in the definition of the loan. A loan has a malva, has a lova, and the chiddush of this pasuk is that by definition it's a 30 days. If you change it, you're making a tznai on a din Torah. You're allowed to do it, but you're making a tznai on a din Torah. That's the extra line of the Rambam. Yisod dino hu gzeras akasa b'kol avos teinim rashay l'tovo. And then he says there's another din that this can be used to explain the Rambam. The Rambam says, let's say there's an arev, right, a cosigner, When am I allowed to go to a cosigner? If I borrow money from Reuven, he can't pay back, so I go to a cosigner. At what point can I go to a cosigner? Says the Rambam, Yachol lipar min ha'arev ad achar shloshim yom, miyom shenischayev ha'arev l'shalem. 30 days from when the arev commits to paying. Wow. Says the Griz. Let's say on the first day of the month, I borrow money. And 2 weeks later, the arev says, you know what, I'll cover your loan. So when can I collect from the arev? 30 days from when? Not from when I borrowed money. From the day the arev committed himself. Why should that be? Doesn't the arev just take my place? So this relates to one issue of how much is the arev stepping into the shoes of the Lova and how much not. Sugya we discussed all the way at the end of Baba Basra. But, says the Griz, it also relates to this sugya that 30 days is the minimum idea of a loan. And the second that the arev steps onto the scene, so it's 30 days from then. You don't go by the original, because again, it's by definition, once the Gemara brings this pasuk, it's an ikar hadin, it's not just based on a svara. One other nafkamina that might come up is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes in Siman Ayin Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says, quotes this din of a mavach chaver stam, you have to wait 30 days. So the Sma and the Shach talk about what if the minag ha-makom is to collect in less than 30 days. Could the minag ha-makom undermine this din? Minag ha-makom is to have 20-day loans. So does that work? And you don't say anything. Does it go by the minag ha-makom or does it go by the din Torah? Says the Sma, it goes by the minag ha-makom. Whatever the minag is. The minhag is 20 days, it goes by that day. It goes by the minhag ha-makom. Says the Shach. Shach says, I don't think it's so clear. That's one issue. What about if there's a minhag of the akum, of the non-Jewish population in the city? Does that affect the Jewish population? All of these questions might be connected to the idea of how much is it just, mistama, this is what people think. It's an umdana, so then lechora, there shouldn't be a day. It should be go by 20, go by the minhag ha-makom, it should go by even by the non-Jews. Or do you say, no, it's more of a din, like the pasuk. So once you say that, like the Brisker Rav emphasizes, maybe then you'd say that it doesn't go by the minhag of less than 30 days, unless you specify. Or maybe the minhag ha-makom won't affect. I'm saying it could be that that's that part of the issue that's discussed in the Nosei Kalim at the beginning of Siman Ayin Gimel.
This lemur here on the bottom is not necessarily be so serious.
This lemur on the bottom is serious, but you just don't know exactly how you understand the din. Once you have that lemur includes even milva alpeh. Does that mean that the whole idea behind the din has changed? It's not just based on a svara, a tircha person. It's not based on tircha anymore because the person doesn't write the shtar. Is it based on just a svara, expanded svara? Even by milva alpeh, people don't do it for less than 30 days? Or is it based on a source? The question is, whenever the Gemara gives a makar, how do you understand that makar? Is the makar more of a din xeris hakasuv? Or is the makar, an expansion, the svara goes this far? Okay, Amar Yehuda Marav. Why are we quoting this here? Because the same person is talking. We just had a statement of Yehuda Marav, and we had Rav Kahana ask a question on it. So now, we have two more statements like that. Amar Yehuda Marav. If somebody has a shirt, the olden days when you used to give a shirt in to be made, they made the shirt without the hole for the neck. So the final step of production, when you bought it, so then you maybe it worked out well, because depending on the size of your head, you made it whatever size you want when you opened up your put your head through the neck. So I put it if you do that on Shabbos, if you open the neck hole on Shabbos, chayiv chatos. That's an Issa d'Araisa of Make Bepatish. Final hammer blow, Malacha number 38. So that is an Issa d'Araisa of on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Maskev Lerav Kahana, V'chima Bein Zu L'Megufas Chavis. What's the difference between this case and opening up a barrel? In Maseches Shabbos, it talks about where if I have a barrel that has a cover on it, I could cut open the top of the barrel. Cut open the top of the barrel and use whatever's inside on Shabbos. So why is that mutter? In this case of sticking my head into the shirt and making the final hole, that's aser. It's aser. It's not only aser. It's chayiv. Amar lei ze chibur v'ze eino chibur. No, this is already this is a chibur. This is considered a mechubar, and therefore when you open it, it's considered a new opening. That's makba patish. But in the case of the barrel, it's already considered open. They stuck on the top of it. Rashi says here, kipsucha va'omedes. It's like it's open already. It's like it's open already. So if it's open already, so that's why it's not, you're just reopening it. That is not the malacha. So this, obviously, as you can imagine, connects to the big sugya of opening containers on Shabbos, opening cans and the bags. And there's a huge discussion, which we can't have it all now, but just to mention one or two sources related to this. And that is, if you want to look at a great summary, the Shmir Shabbos at the beginning of Perek Tes, just quotes, some are machmer, some are mekel. There are some that say, lechatchila, it seems like you try to open everything before Shabbos. Try to open everything. Open up the milk bags and open up the soda bottles and open up everything before Shabbos, lechatchila. Because there are poskim that are going to be machmer related to that. But, b'dieved, so then you have the hierarchy. What's the worst and what's the least to worry about? B'dieved, lechatchila, try to open everything before Shabbos. So, get to what's the least problematic. So, poskim say, are mechalik between, some are mechalik between plastic and metal. Let's say the bottle caps, the soda bottles. So sometimes most sodas are plastic on top, but most, let's say, wines, not the wines with the corks, grape juice has the metal. So, and what happens when I turn it, the metal bottom part comes off. So a number of poskim are machmer between metal versus plastic. By metal, you're really creating something. Because how do you put the metal on? The metal was never a bottle cap beforehand. Right, it was like a piece of metal, and you have a machine that went and turned it. So you are creating now a bottle cap. The plastic, it was a plastic cap beforehand. There was already a cover. And they just like put it on somehow, applying certain pressure. So that was already a kli beforehand, and now it's a kli now. So that's one issue discussed. The other issue is, what about opening up containers, opening up a bag of potato chips on Shabbos? What about opening up, you have a game that you want to open on Shabbos? So again, everything should be opened up before Shabbos. But the Eved, number of poskim or mekel there, as long as I rip it open so I totally destroy it. It can't be used anymore as a bag. I rip open up the bag and I open it all up. So it can't be used anymore. It's as a kli. So that also is mutter. Mekalkel l'tzarech Shabbos. Mekalkel is only in the Sidur Rabbanon on Shabbos. Mekalkel l'tzarech a Shabbos need for food, for something I want to use now. That's the case of the barrel and that is mutter. Again, that is another. What about the worst types of cases are cases where I make a spout. Where I make a perfect, beautiful spout. Like the old-fashioned milk cartons. Where I fold it over and I pull it out. So that is that's more of a problem. Or a soda can. A soda can is a serious issue according to a number of poskim. Because there you're making a beautiful, perfect spout. They gave you a mark to cut it, but you're making the spout. So, lechatchila, once you really stay away from the soda cans, you can have the soda bottles on Shabbos. B'dieved, is there something yishmiyam alismoch? So there are certain poskim that say anything that you're going to throw out at right after you use it is okay. Because it's not called a kli. You're going to throw it out afterwards. How can you call it a kli? So there is that heter out there. So again, if somebody has misar to rely on that heter, okay. Again, but it depends. Every type of container is different. But this is all related to this gemara about haposeach based on shavar b'shavas. Right. I just gave you that the milk. I'm not going to read the milk issue. Was in Rav Moshe in Dalet Ayin Ches. Moshe talks about that you're not allowed to open those old-fashioned milk things. So what about the milk bags? That's not a real kli. Got to make sure you don't cut any words. Not a real kli, but again, lechatchila to try to open it before Shabbos, but especially that kind of thing, that's a low-level kli. But if you need to open the milk, I think one would be able to on Shabbos, the milk bags. Okay, that's one statement of Rav Yehuda, Marav, asked by Rav Kahana, and answered. Amar Rav Yehuda, Marav, next. So now we get to talk about mikvah until the Mishnah. Amar Rav, shloshes lugin mayim, shenafa l'tochan kartov shel yayin. If I have three lugin of water, that a little bit of wine fell in. Umar ehen kemare yayin. And it looks like wine. The wine colored it enough that it looks like wine. V'naflu l'mikvah. And it fell into the mikvah, lo pasluhu. Does not passel it. What's going on here? There is a halacha. If there is three lugin of mayim she'uvin, of drawn water, it's not mikvah water, that falls into a certain amount of water, so then that three lugin of water passel the mikvah. The chiddush of this statement of Yehuda Marav is, because it looks like wine, it's not called wine. Only mayim she'uvin passel the mikvah. Wine does not passel the mikvah. It's different types. Right, it's kind of like the halachas in Yaradeya, when you have min b'mino. When it's so close to each other, so then it's going to ruin it. right? It's going to ruin it if it's three lugot of water. But if it's wine, it's not going to pass. So here, even though it's mostly water, because it looks like wine, it's not going to ruin it. That's the chiddush of Yehudim Arav, what's called in the Rishonim, if you see the last three words in Rashi, Azil Basar Chazusa. Go after how it looks. You go after its appearance. So if it looks like wine, it's considered wine, and therefore it does not passel. The Ritvi here knows there are really three levels in Hilchos Mikvos. Three levels of what passels and what doesn't passel. The long Ritvi, I'll just read you this part. It says, number one, that if you don't have a mikveh yet, betchilas ha-mikveh posel b'revias. Posel b'revias, then even a little bit of mayim passels it. Be'emsa, if you finish kodem shenishlam ha-mikveh b'memsa, if you have most of the mikveh there, but if you don't have memsa there, which is the minimum amount of the mikveh, then a passel shlosha lugin. Three lugin passel a mikveh if you don't have 40 sa yet. That's the middle one. The first one is a big discussion in the Rishon, but this one everybody agrees to. If you don't have a minimum mikveh yet, three lugin fall in, it ruins it. Once you have a mikveh, and then some other water falls in, so then that doesn't passel until at least you have rov. Rov lugin. Three lugin of mayim shuvin does not passel once you have a mikveh. So that's the different levels of what passels. But we're talking about a case here where you don't have mem sa yet, and three lugin, if three lugin of water would fall in, so that it would passel. But here, because it looks like wine, it's not a problem. Maskel Rav Kahana. So again, Rav Kahana asks, Prima bein zeh lemei tzeva, what's the difference between this water that was colored with wine and just colored water? Ditznan, Reb Yossi Omer, Meit Seva, Posel Nesa Mikvah, B'Shloshes Lugin. If somebody has Meit Seva, let's say you have an artist that has a barrel of water that he dips his hands in to wash his hands. So that's Meit Seva, right? You have some water that's colored, and that's called water. That passels the mikvah. So why did that passel the mikvah? Well, if that looks like red, and also, but here, if you have the wine, it doesn't passel. So Amale Rava, no. Hasam, what's it called? Mayid Tziva it Mikri. That's called colored water. So it's still water. Hacha Chamra Mezika Mikri. This is called diluted wine. If you look at this. So it's different. It's different. This is a type of wine, and this is a type of water. Says the Gemara, Bahatani Rabbi Chia, Horidu Asa Mikvah. 1 minute. But we have a statement of Rabbi Chia that says, in the case of the wine, it passels the mikvah. So what do you mean? Does it passel the mikvah with the water colored by wine or not? Amar Rava Lokasha Harav Yochanan ben Nuri Harabanan. It's a machlokas tanaim ditnan. Machlokas whether colored wine, whether you go by pashtus, whether you go by the appearance, or whether you go by what it is inherently. Ditnan, as the Mishnah says in Meseches Mikvaos, Shloshes Lugin Mayim Chaser Kurtov. If you have three lugin of water, less a kurtav, meaning a little less than three lugin of water, shenafa l'tochan kurtav yayin, a little wine fell in there, umar ayin kamara yayin, and it looks like wine, v'nafa l'mikvah, lo pasluhu. So what does the Tanakama hold? If you have a less than three lugin of water that looks like wine, it doesn't passel. What's mashma from the Tanakama? That if it was a full three lugin of water, that even if it looked like wine, it would passel. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, you don't go by just appearance. You go by what it is. If it's three lugin of water, it passels, even if it looks like wine. That's what's mashma from the Tanakhama. Because the Tanakhama says only if it's less than three lugin, and then you have wine added, then it doesn't passel. Similarly, v'chein gimel lugin mayim chaser kurtav. If you have three lugin of water, less a kurtav, shenafa l'tochen kurtav chalav. What if a little milk fell in? So milk doesn't change the color. It's not so dark. Umarei kibaramayim, and this looks like water now. V'nafu l'mikva, lo paslu. So the Tanakhama there says it doesn't passel either, even though it looks like water. Why? Because inherently, you have less than three lugin of water. Some of it's milk. So even though it looks like water, it doesn't passel. So the Tanakhama, though, we assume, if you had three lugin of water, mamish, that would passel no matter what it looks like. So the Tanakhama holds, you don't go after what it looks like. That's what Rabbi Chia held in the previous Brisa. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Hakol Holech Achar Hamara. No, go after what it looks like. Even if it's a lot of water, if it's more than three lugin, if it looks like wine, it's considered wine. And therefore, it does not pass on the mikvah. So you see, it's a machlokas tanaim. Says the Gemara, Hami boy boy lo Rav Papa. Is it so clear that Rav said that you go after appearance, Rav Yudama Rav, Is that so clear that he for sure only holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Rav Papa really had a question about it. Debayi Rav Papa, Rav Papa really had a question. What is the correct version of this Mishnah? We just quoted a Mishnah. But Rav Papa wasn't sure if two of those words in the Mishnah shouldn't have been in there. Which two words? Let's see. Debayi Rav Papa. Rav Tani Chaser Kurta Bereisha. Does Rav have the girsa that we just read? That the first line of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama says, it's three lugin less and missing a kurtav. Is that what he has? Avo shlosha lugin l'tanakhama pasli. But if it was a full three lugin of water, the Tanakhama would say pasul no matter what. No matter what it looks like. Meaning, as we understood it, that the Tanakhama holds, it doesn't matter about appearance. And v'yasa Rabbi Yochanan l'meimer, Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, hakol ho'ech achra amara. Is that how we're supposed to understand it? And then, v'rav d'amar k'Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, and Rav would then only be like the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, meaning is as we understood it correct? Oh, Dilma, or maybe said Rav Papa wasn't sure, maybe Rav took out two words in the first case of the Mishnah. Rav, lo tani chaser kurta bereisha. Rav did not have the words missing a kurta in the reisha, meaning, how did the reisha read? What did the Tanakhama say? If you have three lugan of water that look like wine, it doesn't passel. Wow. So even the Tanakhama says you go by appearance. But what's the chiddush of the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama says you need both. You would need both to passel. You would need appearance, and you would need three lugan of water. And that's the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. No! All you need is appearance. He would be machmir. But if you say, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ki palig asefahu de palig. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he would agree with the Reisha, but he would also argue in the Seifa, in the milk case. That's what he would argue. In the milk case, it looks like water, even though it's really not three lugan of water, but he would still say it's possible. The Rav d'amar k'Rabbi Yaakov, but then that Rav could agree to everybody, because everybody says appearance means something. It's just that the Tanakhama says you need something besides appearance. You need three lugan also. So how could you, Rava, say that it's so clear that Rav only goes like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Didn't Rav Papa had a question about that? He wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if Rav was only like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Gemara says, fine. Rav Papa, mi boy, le Rav, Rav, pshitale. Rav Papa had a question about it, but Rava was sure about it. Rava was sure that Rav only said, had the Mishnah like we have it. Amar Rav Yosef, lo shamili hazraitza. Rav Yosef said, I never heard this. My Rebbe, says Rav Yosef, was Rav Yehuda. And I have never heard him say this in the name of Rav. So I can't believe it. I was there a lot. I never heard my Rebbe talk of a shir about this. Amar le Abaya. Abaya says, as he says so many times in Shas, Amrit lo ni'alon, Rav Yosef, Rebbe, you told us this. V'yachi amrit ni'alon, this is what you said. You told us in the name of Yehuda. As we know, Rav Yosef got sick and he forgot a lot of his Torah. And therefore, many times Abaya, his student, had to remind him, Rebbe, you taught us this. To Rav Lotani Chaser Kurta Bereisha. Rav, give me a Gemara Sota, please. Rav Lotani Chaser Kurta Bereisha. Rav did not say Chaser Kurta in the Reisha. Rabbi Yochanan Asefa Palig, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan only argued in the milk case Asefa. The Tanakhama only held that you need appearance. You need both. While Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you only go by appearance, the Rav Damer k'Divrei Hakol. So Rav held like it goes by Divrei Hakol. That is the shita of Abaya, and now Abaya says, Rabbi Yosef, you taught us that like the other tzad of how we understood it. Period. Okay, I'm just no against the wall. No. Okay. Either way, we'll come back to it. Let's continue. Amar Rav Yudam Rav. The last statement that we're going to discuss about in the name of Yehuda Marav, still talking about in Yonei Mikvah. It says of Yehuda Marav, Chavis Malei Amayim, Shenafel Liyam Agadol. Let's say you have a big barrel of water that fell into the Yam. Fell into the Yam, a big barrel of water. And then somebody jumps into the Mikvah in that spot. So says that Rav Yehuda Marav, Lo also Lo Tefillah. Right, with the tefillah doesn't work. Chayshinan, thank you. Chayshinan l'shlosha lugin shlo yiv makam echad. Right, we're worried that the water that you threw into the mikvah is going to be there through to the into the yam is going to be there, and therefore you can't tovel on there because you're already that's mayim shuvim. It's not water from the yam. Just getting back, I just got the gemara now. Just getting back to just a thought that we said before. We've related this mentioned this before, but you can't whenever this gemara comes up, it's important to mention. If Yossi forgot all of his learning, right? So Abaya had to mention it to him. It's always a very tragic discussion. The last two lines of Maseches Sota. Last two lines. The last Mishnah in Sota, if you remember, talks about Mishameis this Tana. There's no more Yiras Hashem in the world. Mishameis this Tana. There's no more Torah the Osher b'Makom Echad. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anava. When Rebbe died, Anava. He was the last Anav when Rebbe died. Amar of Yosef Latana. Rav Yosef says Lotisni Anava Diika Ana. Don't say Anava. The Anava was left. Because I'm still here. I'm still here. So don't say there's no more Anava in the world. I'm here, says Rav Yosef. Right? That's the bomb kasha. What is he talking about? So the Gra says there's a Tana named Ana. So that's what he means. Ana is a very humble Tana. Dika Ana, there's Ana. He's a big Anav. But say some of the Akronim know. Who's talking here? Rav Yosef's talking. Rav Yosef's saying, don't say there's no Anava in the world. Dika Ana. What does he mean? You want to know it's hard to be humble? Look at me, look at my life, says Rav Yosef. I forgot all my learning. My whole life, my Talmidim are reminding me. Oh, remember you taught me this, you taught me this, you taught me that. Rav Yosef says, you know how to be an Anav? Realize what life's about. What's here today might not be here tomorrow. If you look in my life, that'll teach humility. The message of my life, that's what Rav Yosef means. Ha'ika Ana says, lo tisni Anava. You can have plenty of Anava in the world. Just think about the fickle nature. Think about life is so unpredictable. Ta'ika Ana. So whenever this type of Gemara comes up, it's important to say over that thought that Rav Yosef taught us. Okay, so Rav Yehuda Marav says, back to this Gemara, if somebody throws a barrel of water into the Yam HaGadol, you can't go into the mikvah there because you're worried that the water is still there and you jumped right in and you jumped into Mayim She'uvin. The Dafgal Yam HaGadol, says the Gemara, but this is only in the Yam HaGadol, which Lachor is usually translated as the Mediterranean, but the Yam Dekoy V'Kaima, it is stagnant. It's not moving water. But if it's a river that the water is constantly moving, then no problem. Because you can assume that the water you dumped in has moved. Rashi here says there's has a girsa that other Rishonim accept. Rashi says there's the first line says Chayshinan L'shlosha Lugin. There's another girsa that says it's impossible that this water is not there. So Rashi says it's impossible. It's not impossible. There's a chance it might still be there. It's a chance it might not be there. So Rashi on the first medium line quotes his girsa that he does not accept. Other Rishonim, the Ritva says, maybe sometimes we find the Lashon of E.F. Shar and Shas that doesn't mean really impossible. Maybe it just means it is possible. It's probable. You can look at that Ritva there, but the Rashi just takes that out. Either way, that is the Gemara. So again, what did it say? You can't jump into a lake with a stagnant water right after you threw a whole barrel of water into that spot, because maybe that water is still there. It didn't dissipate yet. But a river is no problem. Tanya Nami Halchi, also under the Maraisa. Chavis Malaya Yayin, Shenafel Yama Gadol. What if you throw a barrel of wine into the Yama Gadol? Hatol Hashem Lasa Lotfila. Same thing. Chayshin L'shlosha Lugin Sh'uvim Shlo Yubim Akam Echad. You're worried that it's all going to be in that spot. V'chein Kikar Shal Truma, Shenafel Sham Tamei. Also, what happens if right after you throw this wine in, you throw a cookie of truma falls in. A truma cookie falls in. So says the Gemara, that cookie is tamei. Why? Because I'm worried that the person who was tamei jumped into that spot, making the wine tamei, and then the wine touched the cookie and made the cookie tamei. So that's what we're worried. You have to consider it tamei. My v'chein, what's the v'chein? What's the chiddush? If it's the same din. No, ma'u detema hasam uki gavra echezke. Now you might say the whole thing is a suffix. So you know what? We'll go by the chazaka de meikaris. So the person is tamei because he was tamei going in, but maybe the kikar is tar because it was tar going in. Hacha uki truma chazaka. Kamash malan. We say no. We're really chosheish that it is tamei. It's not just misupik. So you go by the earlier chazakas. You really assume that there is tuma here. The water has not moved. Period. Okay. One more thought before the Mishnah, and then we'll start the Mishnah. Tosfos asks, Top Tosfos. Why is there any problem with this water? You're worried that you're going to jump in and the water is going to be in that spot. We know there's a principle in Hilchos Mikvaos called Hashaka. Hashaka, literally to kiss, Nishika. What is that? That in our mikvahs, most of the mikvahs that we have, the main part of the mikvah, that's sink water. That's sink water. It's filled up. You turn on the tap. But it's connected. There's a little non-Mekabel Tumah pipe that's connected to a little clay kibbutz with rainwater in it. And that's called Ashaka. And this is already considered rainwater because it's Neshika. It's touching the water in the little container. Not really a container, but that is kosher for the mikvah. So here, all the water falls into the Yam. It's all connected to the other water. So why isn't there Hashaka here? The whole thing should be kosher anyway, even if it's bad water, even if it's Mayim Sheuvin. The whole thing should be kosher based on the principle of Hashaka. So Tosas rereads the whole Gemara. Reads the whole Gemara. It's only talking about wine. It's not talking about water. So exactly, why isn't this good? So Tosvis, where's Tosas? Tosas asks this kasha. So the Pnei Yeshua comes to the rescue. The Pnei Yeshua says, cuts up with a chilek. He says that Hashaka could solve Sheuvin, but it cannot solve Tamei to Tahar. That's his chiddush. There's a gzeira. There's a gzeira d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to go into the mikvah. You're not allowed to go into Mayim Sheuvin. Already relates to the Gemara Misach HaShabbos that in the olden days people used to take. It's actually l'maisa. Let's say a woman goes into the mikvah. She's not supposed to take a shower after she goes to the mikvah. At the mikvah. Why? Because it's a gzeirah. She might think that she's becoming tar from the shower, not from the mikvah. She wants to take a shower when she gets home. That's whatever she wants. But not at the mikvah. There's a gzeirah d'rabbanan of being tovel in Mayim Sheuvin. So says the Pnei Yeshua, Hashaka does not get out of Tumah and Tara issues. It only gets out of pure Mayim Sheuvin issues. So in a regular mikvah, there's Mayim Sheuvin. So you solve that with Hashaka. But here, there's also Tumah and Tara issues. And that is not solved by Hashaka. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua, he brings rayas to this from other places. That is the that is how he answers the question. Mishnah. Back to Maseches Makos. Okay, we got a little off the track here. Still a man, Mikvos. Now they're back to Makos. Midon Abish Ploni, says the Mishnah. Two Adam come and Bar Meid, Shechai v'chaver Masayim Zuz. They say so-and-so is Chayiv 200 Zuz to their friend, Venimsu Zomin. And their chayiv, they found it to be zomamin, lokin umishalmin. Chiddush of Rabbi Meir. We testify that he's chayiv 200, we not only have to pay, we also get malchus. Even though we didn't want to cause him to get malchus. But still, shalo Hashem ha-mevi'en l'dei malchus mevi'en l'dei tashlumin. The shame that brings to malchus does not bring to tashlumin. What exactly does that mean? Many explanations of the Rishonim. Rashi here says, shame means pasuk. There's a different pasuk that teaches you money and teaches you malchus for Edom Zomamin. Money is learned from the Pasuk Rashi quotes. Money is learned from Kasha Zomam. Malchus is learned from Losane. Losane b'yachay tshaka. You gave false testimony. So you get malchus for that. Right, we're going to get to in the Gemara. We had already. Lav Shem Bomaisa. But either way, Rameyer says, two different sukkim, so therefore you do not apply the principle of Kimle b'drabamine, or you're not allowed to get two punishments. Rameyer says, a case of Edom Zomamin for money, two punishments. Two punishments. That is Rashi Pshat, that shame means psukim. I saw in the Biuri Chasidus, why is it called Shalom HaShem? Why is the pasuk called Shame? Shalom HaShem HaMevila DeMakas? So he said, maybe this is a smach to the Ramban. We mentioned many times, the Ramban is in his Akdama to Torah, that all of the Torah really spells out Shem HaShem on a Kabbalistic level. All the Torah, Shemos HaShalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Ramban, without getting back into that. So, but you see here, a pasuk is called Hashem. So you see, that's what the Ramban says. Okay, it's just as an aside. But that is Shitas Rashi. If you look in Tosfos not here, but really more Tosfos here a little bit, but Tosfos in Ksufos on Daf Lamed Beis, he quotes a number of other pshatim. What is Shalom Hashem HaMevila Yamach HaMevila Deit HaShlumin? Tosfos says, because after all, he quotes Rashi Pshat, he's like, two different psukim? So really, if it's in the same pasuk, that's a bigger reason that you should get both punishments. Right? If it's in the same pasuk, that means the pasuk is telling me you should get two punishments. Two different psukim, that's more of a reason to say one knocks out the other one. So he says, I don't understand what Rashi's talking about. So Tosfos gives other pshatim, so what does it mean? Lo Hashem, maybe the Yamakim, maybe the Shlumin. Maybe there's a different, says Tosfos, maybe they're not next to each other. He says, Mirlo Farish, Shlo Hashem, maybe the Yamakim, Sha Tashlumin, Lo Nechtevu, Besamach Lamalkas. That's what it means. The money is not written next to the malchus. If it would be written next to the malchus, you would have thought that it's in lav hanita glase, that you get the los ase, but if you pay the money, that solves the problem. But here, they're not written next to each other, so they're obviously not anita glase. Maybe that's the that's the depth of Rashi Shita. Okay, there are other.
The pasuk that Rashi brings is a
Right, so let's start. We said that already. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. The Gemara is going to discuss that, or Meir somehow accepts Malkus, even in that case, even though it's Ebo Mice. So that is case number one in the Mishnah. Case number two, Midah on a Bishploni Shuchayev Malkus Arboim. I'm sorry, the Chacham Omrin, the Chacham argue, call him Mishalim in Aloka. Chacham say no. There's a special din. You only get one punishment. If you pay, you're not going to get Malkus. Call him Mishalim in Aloka. That's the din. Next case. Two people testify that somebody's chayev malchus, arba'im. Right, two people come to court and say so-and-so a treif. Two people come to court and say so-and-so wore shatnas. Right, so those cases. And they came out, they were zomimin. Lokin shmonim. Well, they get 80 malchus. Two sets of malchus. Mishum losana berecha yitshaker. Mishum batzisim lokash hazomim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir always says there's a malchus for losana. Vachacham momrim. In Lokin El Arbam. No, only 40. What's the reason? So we'll see in the Gemara. Two machlokos, Rameir's always giving more malchus. Says the Gemara, Bishlam al the Rabbanon, I understand according to the Rabbanon why you only get one punishment. Kidei Rishasoksiv. Because it says you give him according to his wickedness, and the Gemara darshins, Mishim Risha Achas Atamachaivo, Vietamachaivo Mishim Shtei Rishayos. You only get one punishment. Right? There's a major sugya that Reb Chaim talks about and others. There are two separate sources in the Torah for the principle of Kimlei B'Dera Amrinei. Two different sources. One of them is by Malkus and Mamon, that's right here, Kidei Rishaso. The other source is in Parshas Mishpatim, that's called Dmei Vlados. Or the case of where the two people are fighting and one of them knocks out Rachman al-Islan and causes a woman to miscarry. So in that case, he has to pay. But the Torah says, if the woman is killed, then he doesn't have to pay. That's called the Halach of Dmei Vladas, Kimle. That's Misa and Mamun. So there are two sources which might reflect two different types of Kimle Vidra Aminei. Misa and Mamun might be a very different din than Malkus and Mamun. Yeah, that's just already reflected in two different psukim, and hopefully we'll talk about that at a certain point. So the Rabbanon say, I understand why they say, Kol HaMashal HaMein HaLokeh, because the Pasuk says you only get one punishment. El or a Meir, my time, what's the reason for a Meir? Why does your Meir say you get both? Amar Ula, Gomari Mosi Shemra. He learns it from Mosi Shemra. Mosi Shemra, a man comes to court and says, my wife was not a psula, and I, you know, he's trying to get her to, lose her ksuba at least, maybe depending when the Edom were coming, and he's proven to be wrong. So the halacha is he gets Malkus, and he has to pay Mea Kesef, and he has to get Malkus V'Yisroso. So Mosi Shemra has the double punishment. So do Edom Zomerman. And where's it? 1 second. Ma Mosi Shemra Loka Mishalim. I've called Loka Mishalim. That's Rabbi Meir. 1 second. Ma Mosi Shemra Shkin Knas. 1 second. Mosi Shemra is a Knas. It's the category of Knas. So how can you compare it? So Gemara says, Savala Krabi Akiva, Damar Edom Zomim Knasu. Like yesterday. Maybe he holds Edom Zomim is also a Knas. Like we said yesterday from Rabbi Akiva. So they're both Knasos. And you can learn one Knas from the other Knas. So maybe that's the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Ika Damasni Lahadu Ulaha. That's one statement of Ula that he learns it from Mosi Shemra, but we have another version of Ula. Maybe Ula's statement was said about the following. Titanya, losasir mimenu ad boker. There's an iser de oraisa of leaving over karbanos. Iser of losasiru. Vahanos mimenu ad boker, vahulu. But once you do leave it over, there's a mitzvah de oraisa of burning nosar, of sreifas nosar. Bo hakasuv litain asay, achar losa asay. So the pasuk gives an asay after a losa asay, lomar, shein lokan alav. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's a lava nitak lase. You don't get malchus for leaving over a karban, because it's a lava nitak lase. What's the svara? Rashi explains. The fact that there's a mitzvah here means the way you fix your problem is not by getting whipped. The way you fix your problem is by doing the mitzvah. That's what Rashi says, an important Rashi. First two skinny lines. Shehaasei ha'amur acharav takana so v'kapara so. Alaveiros alav. This is the takana for the lav. That's the lava nitak lase. The Torah is giving you another way out. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's what it is. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, or Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Lo Man Hashem Uzeh, no, that's not the reason. El Mishem Tehavali Lav Shem Bo Maisa. It's a Lav Shem Bo Maisa. If I leave over, I didn't do anything. I didn't eat it. That's why, B'chol Lav Shem Bo Maisa, Elo Kana Lav. You don't get Malkus for Lav Shem Bo Maisa, as we said yesterday. Says the Gemara, 1 minute, Mechad Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have to come up with the other reason? Does that mean that Rabbi Yehuda holds Lav Shem Bo Maisa, Elo Kana Lav? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that? That you get Malkus for Lav Shem Bo Maisa? He doesn't have the lima like we had yesterday, comparing it to Lav of Chasima. So Minale, how do you know? How does he know that you get a Malkus on a Lav Shem Bo Maisa? So that's where Ula comes in. Omer Ula gamar mi motzi shemra. Learned from motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra lav she'im bo maisa lokan alav. Just like a motzi shemra, it's all words. He didn't say anything. He just said, my wife was not a psula. So just like a motzi shemra, you get malchus. Av kol lav she'im bo maisa lokan alav. So he learns from la motzi shemra. The Gemara says, one second, ma la motzi shemra shekin lokan mishalem. How could you compare it to Moshe Shemra? Moshe Shemra is obviously a uniquely stringent area of halacha. Because that you see, you get two punishments there. So you can't learn Noser from Moshe Shemra, because they're both Lav She'im B'Maises. Moshe Shemra is unique, because Lokiu B'Shalim there. So the Gemara says, one second. Ella Amrei Shlokesh, Gemara Edom Zomamin. Okay, fine. You know where Rabbi Yehuda learns it from? He learns it from Edom Zomamin. Because that's also, Ma Edom Zomamin Lav She'im B'Maisa Lokin Alav. I've called Lav She'im B'Maisa Lokin Alav. Maybe he learns it from Edom Zomamin. That's where Rabbi Yehuda's source is. So the Gemara again says, "Mal eidim zomamin shekein ein srichan hasra'a." Again, it's a more stringent area, and maybe that's why you get malchus even for a lav she'im b'maisa. Why? Because you don't even need hasra'a there. We'll talk about that soon. So the Gemara says, "No, motzi shemra yochiach. Motzi shemra has hasra'a, so that'll prove it." Meaning, have a group effort. The chazar adin lo roizeh karoizeh, lo roizeh karoizeh, the nature of motzi shemra and eidim zomamin are not exactly the same. Hatzad ha-shava shabahem, but the common denominator between them is lav she'im b'maisa v'lokan alav, afko lav she'im b'maisa v'lokan alav, so to every lav she'im b'maisa. So if Yehuda's source, what's if Yehuda's source that you get malchus for lav she'im b'maisa? It's a group team effort. Its a source is motzi shemra and eidim zomamin. The Gemara just has one more line. Malat ha-shava shabahem shken yitken knas. What do you mean? Maybe they do have something unique, so you can't learn it anywhere else. They're both knasos. Now, halo kasha, Rabbi Yehuda lo sava like Rabbi Akiva. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, Eidim Zomamin is not a knas, so you can't say that keeps them unique. Elamalat zara shavah shebehen shkin yish ben sad chamur. But they both have stringencies about them. No hasra, lo keil mishalem. Right. So maybe there is a stringency about them, so you can't learn to others. For Rabbi Yehuda sad chamur lo parech. Period. Yehuda is not bothered by that. If you have different stringencies, that's not a common denominator. They're still different, and therefore they could function as a good malamed for Rabbi Yehuda. Period. Okay, let's talk about this for a little bit. First of all, the Rambam. The Rambam, a little difficult Rambam to understand. The Rambam says in Hilchos Psulei HaMakdashin, when he talks, quotes the halacha of Nosar, if you were writing the Rambam, what would you say? The Rambam says, if you leave over Nosar, you don't get Malchus. Because, usually Rabbi Yehuda, you pass on like Rabbi Meir. Rambam says, because, in Elokes Shaharei Nitko HaKosav La'aseh. Because it's a lava nitik la'aseh. And all the Mepharshim, the Kesef Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech. Why does the Rambam quote Rabbi Yehuda? Why does he quote the reason of Lav She'im B'Maisa? Lav She'im Nitik La'aseh. He should quote the reason of Lav She'im B'Maisa. Sounds like for the Rambam that if it wasn't a nitik lase, you would get malchus. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says you don't get malchus in a lav she'im b'maisa. Ask the Kesef Mishnah. V'leish l'tamur Rabbeinu. We paskin lav she'im b'maisa ain't lokan a lav. So why did he leave that reason? V'yesh lomar. Maybe he's coming to teach me that just the chiddush, that even if it would have a maisa, you wouldn't get malchus because it's a nitik lase. That's all he's emphasizing. The Mishnah l'melech does not like that answer. He says, it sounds like from the Kesef Mishnah that the reason of Lavanita Klase is more inclusive, and that's why the Rambam says that. Even if it's a Yesh B'Maisa, you're still going to get Malchus here. Says the, still not going to get Malchus. Says the Mishnah Melech, no, I think the opposite. I could come up with a case of Nosar. What happens if the guy eats, there's no more Nosar left. Let's say it got destroyed, it was eaten by an animal, got thrown out. There's no more Nosar left. So there's no more nitik klase. We're going to learn later in the Masechta. That's not a nitik klase anymore. Once then there's no more possibility to do the assay, it's now no longer a nitik klase. So in that case, it sounds like from the Rambam that you would get malchus, even though it's not a lav it's a lav she'im b'maisa. So he just leaves it as a tzarachian. V'hadavar tzarach etzli Talmud. I don't know why the Rambam quotes one reason, the reason of nitik klase, and not lav she'im b'maisa. So you can look in the Aruch Lanea, look in the Evan Ozel. So that is all. The different answers, a lot of them are connected to the idea that maybe Nosar is not a true Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. That's how they all try to go in that derech. Maybe a Nosar is, somehow, there are ways, one answer, okay, the Evan Ozel. Evan Ozel says, or Vissa Zalman, that Lav She'ein Bo Maisa means, it's always a Bo Maisa. But if there's a way you could do it with a Maisa, so then it's not a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. So let's say there's 5 minutes left to eat the carbon, and then you take the carbon and you throw it out. So, and then now you have created, you've done a maisa to prevent you from doing the mitzvah. So based on certain shitas, there's a Magen Mishnah in Hilchas Chiras, in Perek Yud Gimel, who says, what's the definition of a lav sheim maisa? If it always has to be done without a maisa. But if there is a way to do it with a maisa, then it's always considered a lav sheyesh bo maisa. So suggest the Eben Azal, maybe that's why the Rambam calls it a lav nitak lase here, because according to him, no sar is an ein bo maisa. Again, it's against the Gemara, it's against that sheet in the Gemara, but that is one possibility. The other issue mentioned here, and then this we'll mention this for a minute, and we'll come back to this again many times throughout the Masechta, and that is the idea that Edom Zomim don't need Hasra. Why don't Edom Zomim need Hasra? Every other Aveira that you do requires Hasra. So why doesn't an Edom Zomim, right? But when they testify, Bezin should tell them, and you should know that if you testify wrongly and you're proven to be Zomim, you're going to get the punishment. The Gemara Ksubis talks about is there, maybe there's no time, because if you give them Hasra now, it's too early, they could figure out a way. Here it says, Ain't Srichan Asra. They don't need it. So Rav Chaim develops the idea, this is quoted in the Rishima Shiurim on Shavuos, on page Kuf Pei Vav, that maybe there's a different Mechayev for Edom Zomim. We'll talk more about this, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow. But there's a Shita that comes up tomorrow that is one of the biggest, big rayas of, on the Amma Beis, a big rayas of this din. And that is, Edom Zomim is not based on the Maisa Avera. You need Hasra when there's a Maisa Avera that's about to be done, and you have to warn them, don't do this, because this Maisa Avera is going to be Mechai of you. Maybe Edom Zomim is not like that. Edom Zomim is a Chiddush HaTorah based on a status of Eid Zomim. Shame Eid Zomim. Once something occurs, certain events occur, Beis Din confers on you the status of Eid Zomim. Once they do that, there are certain halachas that kick in. What's a big riot to that? The Gemara we had in Sanhedrin. When is an Eid Zomim puzzle from? From when they testified, or from when they're proven to be Edom Zomim. So one of the sheetahs says, Mikana lahaba. Mikana lahaba? When did they do something wrong? They did it 6 months ago. Today? They're going to be puzzled from today? No, they should be puzzled from then. What? Maisa Geneva. They're puzzled from the time they did the... Right? So why are they puzzled from today? Ah, if it's not based on the Maisa Avera, but it's based on the status conferred, that's why it could go on today. Mikana lahaba. And that's why you wouldn't need Hasra. Another one of the major rayas to that shita about Shemei Zomeim is on tomorrow's daf. We'll see tomorrow the shita in the Nemuki Yosef of the Reben Gaius. That is one of the big rayas to this concept of Shem Eid Zomeim. Okay, there's more, but Be'ez Hashem, we will stop here. Just to mention that last night we gave the first Shir Be'iyun related to the daf, so it should be hopefully up on the OU website. OU.org, Mrs. Durabanan's affecting Dinam Daraisa, so related to earlier in the Masechta. So feel free to take advantage of that.